This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening the matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where week after week, we explore the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, we are talking about a joy for living, and this is Mother's Day, so Mom, Grandma, and all of you out there, all of you moms, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, in fact, even if you ever had a mother, this show is for you today, because motherhood really does, in many ways, bring out the best of what humanity has to offer. And that really is the point of Inside Wealth, is to tap into whatever that is that brings out the best of who we are as human beings so that we can enjoy this great gift we've been given. And it's called being incarnate. And you know, just like financial wealth, sometimes it requires a little bit of work. Today, we have a very special guest as we focus on our inside wealth. We have a true master and author of the work, in quotes, which is inner work, in terms of living a life of truthfulness, freedom, and just absolute joy. And her name is Byron Katie. And maybe you know of her, and if you don't, this is going to be a fantastic introduction to her. She has written numerous best-selling books, including the most recent one called A Thousand Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. And she wrote a book called Loving What Is, where it really does go deeply into this process of inquiry called The Work. And so I want you to stay tuned for a very special show today, because we're going to do a little of the work on yours truly here. So I'm not taking the day off at all. Sandy's rolling her eyeballs because, in fact, I will bear all. So I guess right now you're counting your blessings. This is not on video. Bearing all simply will be in audio this time around. But we'll see what popular demand has to say about that. And in fact, we're going to go deeply into something that we all think about from time to time. In fact, it has everything to do with all of us who ever existed, including all the mothers in the world. But I'm not going to tell you what that is right now. So you're going to have to stay tuned and listen for that. But before we roll up our sleeves and get to the work with Byron Katie, you have this week's, and Mom, take the day off. I got it covered. We cooked it up ourselves. This week's bowl of stew. Yes, this Mother's Day, this bowl of stew is really dedicated to all the moms out there. And specifically, what is it about motherhood that we are in fact cherishing? What are we celebrating here? What are we celebrating? Well, what's amazing here, what's truly amazing is that at the core of motherhood is this thing called unconditional love. And the beautiful thing about it is we all have mothers. We were all born out of motherhood, and there's no way around that one, which is a beautiful thing because, truly, it's one of the things that we all have in common. We've all had mothers, and we were all born pretty much out of the same act, give or take a test tube, petri dish, or something a little more natural. And isn't unconditional love the greatest that we have to offer the world? And I know it's rare. And I know that in our society, tell me if you agree, but in our society, it is certainly conventional wisdom, and it's agreed upon, that it's absolutely okay to love your mother unconditionally. And it's absolutely okay for your mother to love you unconditionally. And that feels so good. It really does. Because I know, and I can speak for my own self, you know, this whole notion of unconditional love, which is something that all of the great spiritual teachers have espoused, whether it's Buddha, Jesus, whomever, they've all espoused this notion of unconditional love. And as we go about this world that we live in today, with all of its materialism and all of its capitalism and the religions the way they are, there are so many shoulds. There are so many shoulds of the way things are supposed to be. And so many stories in terms of what is good, what is evil, what is acceptable, what is completely unacceptable, what is to be absolutely enjoyed and reveled in, and what is to be absolutely ashamed of. And how so frequently it's all the same stuff, which is so confusing, which is why on Mother's Day, it is so wonderful that we actually get to separate out and weed out all the muck and mire, because we all know there is so much, even with our mothers. Even with our mothers, God bless them, even with the best of intentions. We all know that old quote about where that road gets paved. We all know that deep down, our mothers really, at the core, want the best for us. They want us to live a happy life, whether they're in this lifetime, still walking the earth, or passed on to the other one. Even if they couldn't fully express it for whatever reason, based upon their own stories, their own filters, their own life experiences, they maybe were not able to fully express how deeply they love us and how much they want for us to absolutely enjoy this life. I personally am very blessed with a mother and a grandmother who have let me know they really want my happiness, even when they don't understand me, which is frequently, and even when they may not even agree with my action steps. They ultimately know that they can't wake up in my skin and bones. Only I can. And that I offer up to all of us, to all of you out there, that with all due respect to what your mothers are thinking of you and what they may expect of you, good news, people. You are the only one who wakes up in your skin and bones. And this Mother's Day, I'm inviting us all to wake up to new levels. To new levels of love and unconditional love in our lives. Because in those rare moments when we are actually able to experience it, we all know there's nothing like it. And with that, I'd like to introduce Byron Katie, who may not even need an introduction. She is a true, true master and has brought amazing, powerful process to the world called The Work. And she's written all kinds of best-selling books, from Loving What Is and I Need Your Love, Is That True? To her latest book, called A Thousand Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are, which may sound like a real challenge to some of us. Katie, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here on Inside Wealth.
It's such a privilege for me. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you for accepting and showing up, because there is a lot of work to be done here, because we can even start with the subtitle of your book, the latest one, which is Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are, because it seems like so many people are not living in harmony right now. How do you feel we can start, and what do you write about in the book, to start to get to this the joy factor here and becoming in greater harmony?
Well, when we're experiencing thoughts like, I care about you, how can I help, and I love you, and I love my mother because, and then all those wonderful things run through our heads because she's so loving, she's so caring. Now, feel what it feels like to experience those thoughts when they're genuine. It's that, you know, it's joyful, it's harmonious, it's balanced, it's really beautiful. And when you're experiencing thoughts like that, then all is right with the world. Everything you see out of that clear mind, that mind that is truer to your nature, to your own kind nature. Now, Stu, when we have thoughts like any negative thoughts, like he doesn't care about me, she doesn't want to be with me, she doesn't have my best interest at heart, She shouldn't have said that. She always contradicts me. She always, she really doesn't care. You know, she's always telling me what to do. Now, feel those thoughts. Feel what it feels like to experience those thoughts. When we look out at the world, there is a haze over it. And we're not in harmony with the way things are. Because, and here to answer your question, we're believing our stressful thoughts. Mm. Now, what I bring to the world is a way to, and it's my job, it's to bring to the world a way to question the thoughts, these stressful thoughts, to identify them and question them, the thoughts that cause all the suffering in the world. And when we question them, in other words, we do the work with them, and that's on my website, thework.com. It's all there, free, and also in my books. But you question your mind using these four questions and a turnaround. The work is four questions and a turnaround, and anyone with an open mind can do it. So imagine a world where there's nothing left but positive thoughts, where you have questioned your stressful ones, and you've seen what's true and what's not, and miraculously, it seems that you were wrong on all counts. But those are spiritual experiences. Those are miracles. Those are waking up to reality. That is the mind waking up to its enlightened self. It's enlightenment, in fact. For example, if you're thinking positive thoughts, like positive affirmations, and they're working for you because they're truer to your true nature. And then let's say you get a parking ticket and you can't afford it, and for a lot of reasons, financially too, it's three strikes, you're out. But let's say you get the parking ticket. Everything you're believing under those positive affirmations, the thoughts and beliefs that you have not questioned, that you have not done the work with, all of those override the positive affirmations. So the positive affirmations, again, they're truer to us, but the negative ones are going to override them when we don't get what we want or we're what we have is threatened. And that's just the way it is. It's why we have war in the world. So to question our stressful thought is to enter a whole new paradigm. And it's not something we do. It's a place we find ourselves, literally from earth to heaven, sitting in a chair. And if I invite people not to believe me, but to test it for themselves, which I hear you're up for today.
Oh, yes. Word has gotten out, hasn't it? Yeah, I am going to be, a human guinea pig, and some people call me a chauvinist pig by the end of the show. But in terms of my willingness to participate in the work, because I just want to live in a world of peace and love and truth.
Well, you said it, unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
And until we're living out of that, we're not connected to Source, and Source is unconditional love. It's who and what we are when we're not believing on our stressful thoughts about other people, ourselves, and situations.
We're here with Byron Katie, who is the master and creator of the work, as it appears in Loving What Is, on her website at thework.com, and numerous other books. And so many of us, Katie, you know, we've been socialized, and the messages since birth, since pre-birth, it's gone back generations and generations,
mm-hmm.
in terms of how separate we are from each other, and how, you know, it's a materialist society, and things need to look a certain way, and all these attachments,
mm-hmm.
that these thoughts are so ingrained in us.
They are, and we believe them. Thoughts have no power. It's when we believe the thoughts that it has power, and then that becomes our identity. And then we have to live that out. And we don't have a choice. We believe our thoughts or we question them. There is no other choice. So life doesn't change until mind changes. and mind is not going to change at the level it deserves until we all understand that we can question our mind and set ourselves free. And to live out of this creative mind that can find solutions for any problem without a gap there that takes struggle and pain and suffering to accomplish what is beautiful.
Well, Katie, let's get right into it right after a brief break, where we'll take a look at something that I think is real beautiful, and we'll see where it goes.
Good.
Right here on Inside Wealth. Welcome to the movement that takes your wealth to the next level, beyond the surface of money to the service of money, where you get provocative commentary and lively conversation about inside wealth, right here on Talk 910 KNEW. A business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net and sponsor radio that makes a difference. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on worth.
Imagine, you're lying in your bed stranded because you can't walk. Your friends and family go about their day, but you're left behind. You can't move without dragging your lifeless legs across the ground, stumbling every step, struggling to carry the entire weight of your body on two arms. This is reality for more than 100 million children and adults worldwide. They simply can't afford the one thing that will change everything, a wheelchair. We're the Wheelchair Foundation. We deliver hope, mobility, and freedom to impoverished people across the globe. And now you can be part of this great mission. A small gift from you can buy a brand new wheelchair and set a suffering person free. You won't believe how little it takes. Transform a life instantly. To make a donation or to find out how you can help, call the Wheelchair Foundation.
Call toll free. 888-378-3839. 888-378-3839.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1-ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
So call 800-203-3100. That's 800-203-3100.
Hi, this is Stu Zimmerman with more Inside Wealth for your heart and your wallet, right here on Talk 910 KNEW San Francisco. We are back on a very special Mother's Day edition of Inside Wealth with Byron Katie. She's literally an author extraordinaire who has written amazing, detailed books and processes that really help to shift our lives and for nothing short of enlightenment, which is the ultimate of inside wealth. It's a beautiful thing. Her most recent book is called 1,000 Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. In fact, she wrote it with her husband, Stephen Mitchell. She's also written Loving What Is, and that details this process known as the work, which is some questions of self-inquiry that are really going to question our thoughts, because we all have a bunch of thoughts. Frankly, we believe a lot of them, and they limit our experience. And dare I say, in many cases, they actually are the root of our suffering. And I don't know about you. I'm raising my hand. I've had enough suffering for one lifetime. How about you? So with that, Katie, I'm open to you in terms of taking a look at a certain aspect of my thought process that I guess I'm either confused about or feel some form of constriction around.
Yeah, so what's a thought what's a stressful thought for you? Find a thought that's stressful.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I mentioned in the bowl of stew about unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And as I do my best to allow myself to let go into unconditional love, I find that it wants to express itself in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways, and I think a lot of men may know this one as well, they may not define it as unconditional love, but in terms of sexuality and physical intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've certainly been conditioned to believe that it's supposed to be in a monogamous form. I've been conditioned to believe that it's supposed to be held in a very specific container called marriage. And that anything other than that is wrong, sinful, shameful, or, you know, I'll be rejected by society.
Mm-hmm.
And that prospect I fear. And that is something that does not feel good to me, and because I'm all for inclusion and oneness and not for separation.
Yes. So Stu, is it you would have an affair, someone else would have an affair, or your wife would?
I'll speak for myself. I can't speak for my wife. I can only speak for me. And I know that if I were truly, let's say, liberated and free and be authentically expressing what's in my heart, I would be having intimate possibilities. I don't even know exactly what it would look like. I don't even know what would unfold in the moment. But I would allow moments of physical intimacy to unfold with other people.
So you do not allow... are you equating intimacy with sex?
It could be, but not necessarily.
Okay.
The truth is, I'm open to what the moment has to offer, which it could be completely, you know, consummated with intercourse, or it could be something other. I don't even know, other than show up and allow what's true to unfold.
Okay, so what do you fear? What happened if you were intimate with everyone?
I fear, well, aside from the STD portion of it, which is one of those grounded fears or physical fears, but in terms of the emotional fear, I fear that either I may be misunderstood, I have a family to consider, like children, for example, and I would not want to introduce people into our family who could otherwise harm them, or let's say call it a fatal attraction of some kind, if that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone who would disrespect the relationship I have with my children and other people that I love.
Okay, so let's say your wife decided to have an affair.
Mm.
And that would affect everything you've just named.
Yes.
Okay, so your wife what? She shouldn't have an affair?
No, I'm open. I'm open. I mean, I've actually had this conversation with her, ironically enough, and because she's actually been living spatially at a distance from me for several months. And
okay, so I need my wife to be monogamous.
No, I don't.
Okay, good.
No, I'm open. And she actually asked me, well, what happens if I were with somebody? Wouldn't you be jealous? I said, I could be, but then I'd have to deal with it, wouldn't I? Because I understand on a profound level, at least... this is a truer thought for me than the other thoughts, that as coming from one source, that as being unconditionally loving with source present in all beings, then why wouldn't she have the freedom? Why wouldn't I relish in her freedom to experience that for
mm-hmm.
herself?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is something I could. And
mm-hmm.
not knowing if there were other issues like jealousy or something else that would come up in the moment, then
so
I'd be willing to deal with it.
So let's put it on you, because,
please.
You know, that seems like you could really deal with that, Stu.
I believe I could.
Okay, so you, if you were intimate with everyone. And I hear from you that's not sexually necessarily, just intimacy.
Mm.
I mean, full intimacy. And it, you know, we'll just say intimate, because I don't think sex is the thing here.
Mm-hmm.
I think where you're going with is the fear of love, really.
Mm.
But fully, you meet someone, man, woman, child, whatever it is, and you feel total intimacy with them. So what do you fear if you met every human being that way, and you might land on one specifically?
My mind keeps wanting to go back to the physical. I feel that I do a reasonably good job of being loving and being intimate with people.
Mm-hmm.
On a regular basis. I can't say it's in every moment.
Okay, so give me a stressful thought coming from you. See if you can nail it.
Okay.
Like, I want, I need, they should, I should, I need.
Okay, I need complete freedom.
Okay, is that true? You need complete freedom, Stu. Is that true? Can you absolutely know that it's true, that that's what you need? And listeners out there, your answer may be no, it may be yes, but this is personal work. This is about taking your own mind back without shame or guilt, just to take your own mind back and to see what is true for you. And maybe you're not quite sure, but I invite you to commit to a yes or a no and notice how your mind wants to justify and qualify and tell a story around it and get still.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Well, I feel like I actually am at my essence free. So maybe it's an illusion of needing anything, because I know that in my essence, I guess I do. I would say, yes, I do need my freedom to be true to who I am.
So you need your freedom. You need to be free.
Yes.
Wasn't that it? You need to be
yes.
free.
Yes.
How do you, and this is the third question. The first question is it true? Second, can you absolutely know that it's true?
I know that it's absolutely true.
Okay. Now, third question. How do you react? What happens to your life when you believe that thought and you're not free? Now, what we're looking for here are negatives, because, again, your positive answers, those of you listening to this that are also doing this work with Stu, look how when you believe the thought, it affects your body. It affects the people around you. It affects how you live your life. How do you react, Stu, when you think the thought, I need complete freedom, and you don't have it?
It doesn't feel good to me. I feel confined. I feel, I can feel a little squirrely, if you know what I mean. And really uncomfortable in my skin.
And notice how the mind begins to compare you with other people and other experiences.
And
you see it?
As I think about...
Notice how the mind reacts when you think the thought, I need to be free, and you're not.
Mm.
I really love that you listeners and all of us look at how the mind reacts when it believes the thought. It compares, it shows you images of a past and a future. It shows how you're less and others are more. Feel the feelings that happen when you believe the thought, I need to be free, and you're not. And maybe someone has you strapped down. I mean, maybe you're ill and paralyzed and can't walk. And some of you out there listening to this are in in similar situations. And some of us are perfectly healthy with this thought, and it's just as painful. How do you react? What happens when you believe the thought, I need to be free, and you're not?
I know in my heart that I'm the only person, or the only, the only person that can truly limit my freedom, or my perception of freedom.
Okay, now that's more of an intellectual, kind of a move into discussion, and let's move back. And this is difficult for some of us. For me, how I react when I think the thought I should be free and I'm not, I automatically become less than I was before I thought it.
Mm.
Less free than even before the moment I believed this. Stu, who would you be, fourth question, who would you be without the thought, I need to be free?
I really have no idea. I believe I would be some essence that goes beyond a who even. It would just be loving and fun-loving and frolicking and enjoying the moment. I don't even know if that's...
But there'd be no way to know you weren't.
Unless I had moments when I didn't feel that? I'm not quite following.
Well, I need to be free. If I had never heard that concept, how would I know I'm not free?
Hmm. So what you're saying is I'm already free and I just was thinking that I wasn't.
Yes. And when we look at how the mind works and it's we become less than we were before we believe the thought, and then how the mind compares when we think the thought I need to be free, and how we can drop even below that, even into a depression. Other people are free, and especially around finances, this can get really scary. We start believing that money and the perfect body and the material world can give us what we appear to be lacking that we're not, in fact. So let's turn it around. I need to be free. What is the opposite of I need to be free?
I don't need to be free.
Okay, now if the universe is friendly, and what I like to say is, this is a perfect world. God is everything. God is good. God is love. But if the universe is friendly, I don't need to be free. Why is that? Why would that? If God is love and God is good, why would that be so for you? Why would that be as true or truer? I don't need to be free.
Well, ultimately, there would be no distinction between me and God. That God, I would just be an expression of God. So, in that case, it would be needless altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's inherently free.
Mm-hmm. Can you find another example? I love that people find three of these when they move to these opposites. I don't need to be free. Where I went with it is,
where I'm already free.
Yeah. And another example, I don't need to be free. An example of that might be, I'm not mature enough yet. There are more lessons for me to learn. That the universe is so friendly and so good, it wouldn't want me to miss anything. That things have to be realized for their preciousness.
Well, that one, on that note, I'm not quite sure I believe that one, Katie, to be honest with you, because I do trust that whatever lessons I need to learn, I learn just by virtue of showing up. When we return, we'll do a little bit of work with our mothers on this very special Mother's Day, right here on Inside Wealth.
Never didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Down, you were always there to comfort me.
you have been to me. You will always be. You will always be.
Will, ownership, trust, appreciation. They all work in the financial world. And they are all keys to security and wealth beyond measure. And it's all in our book, Inner Security and Infinite Wealth, subtitled Merging Self-Worth and Net Worth. Hey there, it's me, Stu Zimmerman. Come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net and order your copy today. That's insidewealth.net.
I find in my mother's eyes.
Well, welcome back to a very special Mother's Day show of Inside Wealth. We're here with Byron Katie, the author of Loving What Is, and most recently, A Thousand Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are. And she wrote it with her husband, Stephen Mitchell. And this is something that we all want and really does come down to the essence of Inside Wealth. Truly living in harmony with the way things are and living a life of joy and truth. So, Katie, first of all, I want to thank you again for showing up with a very powerful last segment, at least for yours truly. I hope everybody else out there got something out of it.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome, Stu. Let's do one on mothers.
Please, yeah, let's.
Good. So what's a stressful thought around mothers? Mothers should understand us.
Yeah, mothers should understand us.
Okay. So let's walk through it and go to the place, and I invite all the listeners to do the same. Stu, go to a place where a time in your life where your mother did not understand you, where you felt like she just wasn't listening. She didn't understand.
Okay, I am completely there.
Okay, because that could be, you know, we have a lot of area in our lives where we believed that. Mm. So, Stu, your mother should understand you. Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true that your mother should understand you?
Well, it's certainly a desire that I have. I can't say I know for sure that it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
So, third
question. How do you react? What happens when you believe the thought that your mother should understand you and she doesn't?
I'm definitely not happy about it. And it doesn't feel good in my body.
Mm-hmm.
I feel constricted. I feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just feel frustrated. I just don't like that feeling. It feels small.
And when you feel that way and you're thinking the thought, my mother should understand me, how do you treat your mother? How do you treat yourself when you believe that thought and she does not understand?
Well, I'm certainly judging her a lot, or judging myself. I'm just not a good enough communicator or something, that I just can't seem to get my point across. And
mm-hmm.
judging her for her inability to listen.
Mm-hmm. And feeling
or openness. Yeah, and feeling
separate, which
yes.
is where you started the show. You know, the unconditional love is blocked in that moment.
Mm.
And you're separate. My mother should understand me. Who would you be? Now imagine your life exactly the way you've lived it. Don't change anything. No positive affirmation. Just look at you going to the market or waking up in the morning with your mom there. Just your life, situations that you have really lived through on with your mother. Who would you be without the thought, my mother should understand me?
I think I'd be the same.
Yeah, without the stress.
Yeah.
Without expectations, without a block, without your interrupting that flow that you experience with her, that intimacy that we spoke of earlier. And you know, how do I react when I believe the thought, that third question?
Mm-hmm.
That's where addictions happen in our life. It's where actually we begin to pick up the cigarette we said we'd never smoke again, where anger happens, where frustration and loneliness happen, believing a thought. And then who would you be without the thought? So now my mother should understand me. Turn it around. Can you find a turnaround, an opposite?
My mother doesn't need to understand me.
Yes,
or I don't need for her to understand me.
So, and if we keep the words as close as we can, it is just miraculous work. So my mother should understand me. Turn around, my mother should not understand me.
Mm.
How do I know that's true? She doesn't. That's reality. And for me to expect her to do what she's unable to do is insane. And so if that expectation, you know, we become the ones that are insane because we're in a crazy frame of mind when we're believing that. So another turnaround, my mother should understand me, another turnaround,
mm-hmm.
Can you find one?
Let's see, you said my mother should not understand me.
Uh-huh. So put you on all of it. My mother should understand me,
I should understand my mother.
Yes. Yes, because that's where there's a possibility. That's where you have possibility. That's possible. I notice with my mother, it's not possible. She understands what she understands when she understands it, and there's nothing I can do about that. But turned around, I should understand my mother. Let it begin with me.
Mm.
You know, let me understand my mother. That's, you know, what an odd thought.
You know, that's a great point that you mentioned, because when you were asking me that question and I was thinking not just about my mother not understanding me in certain ways, I started going to Israelis and Palestinians and Middle East and us and, you know,
exactly.
Bigger issues of a lack of understanding, shall we say.
And we can't do it with our own mothers.
And exactly. That's a great point. That's a great point.
And we're expecting our governments to do better, and we can't do better with the people we live with. And the people we love. So another turnaround, my mother should understand me. Put you on all of it.
Mm.
I should understand.
Thank you. Keep going.
I should understand myself.
I should understand myself.
Yes. Why would it be my mother's job? Why would I put my own heart's desire to understand myself a generation away? You know, let me understand me.
Mm.
Let me understand how I attack my mother when she doesn't understand me. Let me understand how I am the one causing the violence in the world. You know, I've come to see that we feel like we're victims. For example, I believe my mother should understand me, and she doesn't. Immediately, I become a victim. And look how we react when we're victims. I say that victims are violent people. In fact, we're the only violent people in the world. It's a misunderstanding, and that misunderstanding is on our own part. And I know that there are only three kinds of business in all of the universe, mine, yours, and God's, and that would be the God of your understanding. And I notice that when I'm mentally running your life, what you should or shouldn't do, or what I need from you, etc., all of it that you're not supplying, that when I am mentally running your life and you're running your life, there are two of us over there running your life, and there's no one here running mine. So I am like a sleepwalker. There's no one taking care of myself. I'm busy dictating what you should do and live, and I'm so asleep, I haven't applied it to myself. So when I question what I believe about you, and I turn it around, I find peace, because it gives me absolute control. It gives me myself back. It shows me who to work on. And, you know, I tried running my children's life all those years, and there was no one running mine. So when I turned it around and began to apply all those things that I wanted for them to my own life, oh, my goodness, it was so amazing. I began to live out my own wisdom, leading them to theirs. And as I led my own wisdom, they followed. As, you know, we begin to live as an example rather than dictate to others on the examples that we're not living for ourselves.
Mm. So clearly this is something that we can apply to every aspect of our lives, whether it's at work, in all of our relationships.
I don't have enough money. I'm too fat. I'm too thin. I'm this, you're that. Oh, my goodness. Anytime there's stress, if we just identify what we're believing and assuming, and we walked it through these four questions and turn around, you know, just really meditate on, for example, she doesn't care about me, he doesn't care about me. Is it true? How do I react when I believe the thought? And we look at our lives, and who would I be in that same life without the thought? And then turned it around. And those four course questions are on my website. And again, you don't have to sign up for the newsletter to have all this information. It's just all there for anyone that may see these questions as being a service in their life.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for your commitment to being of service to all of us, to all of humanity here with an amazing process.
For my part, you're so welcome, and thank you. Thank you for what you give and what you are and what you share with us in the world.
So, as you can see here, the work really is a labor of love, literally and figuratively. It really is. And what it really comes down to is, how much do you love yourself? That's really what all this is about. It's all about you. It has nothing to do with me. No, it has everything to do with me too. It truly is, though. How much do you love yourself? How much do you love your life? That you are willing to take a look at anything and everything that you think, that you believe, and that may stand in the way of who you really are. In any of it, whether it's, you know, as Katie pointed out, whether it's the money thing, or the looks thing, or our relationships, or any of it, any aspect of life, because one of the thought forms that is pretty much standard, there's a couple of them here that I think really govern a lot of us. If I may be so bold, and I do, because I got the mic and all of it here, so I get to be that bold, you know. One of them is, that's just the way it is. You know, Bruce Hornsby song. That's just the way it is. You know, life is hard. That's just the way it is. I got to make a ton of dough. I got to support all these kids. I have to have a certain lifestyle. That's just the way it is. My relationships are unfulfilling after a few years of infatuation and the mating dance and the love and all of that. All of a sudden, relationships start to fade for one reason or another. A lot of people have that. A lot of people have that. Look at the divorce rate, okay? That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. My mom has certain things and, you know, certain beliefs about life, and that's the way she is, and I learned about them very early on in life, and that's the way I am. And I've always been this way. Whatever it is, I've always been this way. So there, you know, there's a lot of comfort in that knowledge in some ways of some of these thoughts, because they've been around for, you know, for eons. Well, I think we all know that our world, in many ways, can easily be on a collision course, okay? This is not to say that I'm, you know, calling pie, you know, Henny Penny here, sky, Chicken Little, Sky is Falling, or anything else, okay? But we all know that more people have bizarre nuclear weapons than ever before. We all know that oil prices are going who knows where. We all know that we have a certain life expectancy in this body, so that we have a certain number of days or years, hopefully many of them, left. And we all know that this moment has never existed before. And I'm inviting you right now to whatever work you want to call it that really is a labor of love. And whatever it is in your life, and maybe it is with regards to sex and sexuality and sexual expression, because there are so many mixed messages. There are. You know, on one hand, it's kind of glorified by the media and Hollywood, be sexy and all of that. And it's on the TV shows and the movies. And it's something that so many of it's sex sells because why? There's demand, right? Is that easy? So there's that element for it. And at the same time, we all know there's a lot of shame around it. There's a lot of packaging around it. There's a lot of confusion around it because it is not, in fact, love. It may be an expression of love, but it may not be. And so here we are on Mother's Day, which, with the best of what motherhood has to offer, is unconditional love. And the best of what our lives have to offer is that as well. I'm inviting you, yeah, it's a holiday, so take the day off, okay, on one level. And on the other level, please, I'm offering you the gift to do your work so that you can become free, joyful, happy, whatever it is you want, that you can say, yes, it's a great day to be alive. Until next week, invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW.
You have a business, a mission, and a message. Inside Wealth can deliver that message to an intelligent, insightful, and mindful audience. Being a sponsor on Inside Wealth, you become an important player in a win-win agreement where nobody has to lose. Invest in your business and your purpose by calling 707-425-2360 or go to InsideWealth.net. Inside Wealth, the greatest show on earth.
Are you looking to help give back to the community but need great flexibility? Tony La Russa's Animal Rescue Foundation, ARF, has a flexible volunteer position tailored just for you. You can share in the triumph of helping an orphan kitten or puppy, as well as receive unconditional love. ARF needs volunteer fosters to provide a little extra time or attention until these animals can be adopted into their forever homes. ARF will provide the food, medication, and support, and you provide the love. Check out ARF.net or call 925-256-1ARF today. Please give puppies and kittens another chance. Call 925-256-1ARF today.
I find in my mother's eyes just like a wandering sparrow far from its fold.